the way things are going, single-use plastics will be a lot more regulated or outright banned, and consumers will hopefully be a lot more aware of it. So you will probably leave the house with everything you need, whatever's in your pockets, you walk around with all day. And that, I think, just flicked a switch. And it was just like, well, actually, there's nothing out there that does fit in our pocket and we can carry around all day, every day. And that's where it came from. Like, can we create a cup? And I think cups were the one focus of ours, because we tended to do a lot of coffees during the day and kind of be out and about. And we each had a water bottle and things like that. And we never had a cup. We never had something we could use. And it was one area we were sort of looking for something at the time. And it just made sense. It was like, can we create something that is as close to being as convenient as something that you'd pick up at a coffee shop and throw away?
This is A Sustainable Mind, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental change makers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. After finding out that over 165 million single-use cups end up in a landfill every single day, Vince and Megan went looking for a reusable alternative. There are a lot of cups out there, but they couldn't find one that was both convenient and easy to carry around all day, every single day. So they made one. Vince and Megan are the creators of the Hunu Cup, H-U-N-U, and it folds down small enough to fit in even the tiniest of pockets. I've been using the Hunu Cup personally for some time now, and I am super impressed with the design. Today, we are joined by Vince Dixon to talk about the Hunu Cup and their business journey. So Vince, let's get right into things. Tell us about how nature, the environment, and sustainability played a role in your childhood growing up.
Yeah, thank you. That's diving right into it. I grew up in South Africa, in Cape Town, which is, for anyone that's been there or knows anything about it, it's a very outdoors sort of place. So I grew up, and South Africa in general is a very kind of outdoors environment to grow up in many ways. So I grew up outside a lot. My family was very into hiking, and I grew up surfing, and Cape Town's quite literally a city on a mountain. So I grew up in the mountain, and I think just without it being, it was just part of life. I think being in the outdoors and nature was just part of life. And I think the more I grew up and traveled and saw the rest of the world, and particularly spent time in big cities, you start noticing some of the stuff that is negative and kind of affects those environments. And I think the more I've traveled as I've gotten older, I've been kind of fortunate enough to be able to go some fairly remote places, and you see just the impact of, I mean, at the very basic level of just seeing physical plastic in parts of the world where there's hardly any people or hardly anything else going on, and you realize this is such a huge issue. So that's I would say it's been there since childhood, just the love of the kind of outdoors and nature, and just the fact that we're part of the earth. And then as I've grown up, just become more aware of the specific issues around it. I think still learning every day.
Absolutely. And take us into your young adulthood. I think a lot of people you know, they see the world through a certain set of eyes when they're younger. Did your exposure to the outdoors, that appreciation that you received early on, or that you cultivated early on, take a big role in you becoming a young adult and deciding where you were going to go to school, perhaps, or what you were going to do with some of your first business ventures, or the work that you were just starting out doing as a teenager and young adult? Can you take us through that journey, what your life looked like as a young adult, and then maybe into right where you were deciding that Hunu was something that you wanted to bring to the world, and what that journey was like?
That is a very good question, actually. Covers a lot of ground, but I really like it, because I have some opinions on, I suppose, the influence of stuff that happens when you're younger. But I think in my case, I was just always there without me noticing it, because of my family being relatively kind of outdoor minded, and our family holidays were often camping or hiking or things like that. So there was this kind of inherent love of just being outdoors and nature. And I think as I've gotten older, I've come to realize that that's a pretty important part of who I am, and I actually need it. Like if I'm away from too much time outdoors or just green spaces or just sort of being near a tree, sometimes living in a big city can be hard. I feel it. I notice it a lot more. So I think, I mean, you never really know. It's that nature versus nurture of how much that's kind of inherent and there, and how much was it just the sort of upbringing. But I think I would say growing up in a place where weekends and kind of afternoons and days were spent on the mountain or on the beach, and you're surrounded by real kind of natural beauty, and having parents who have very much pushed us in those directions to be outdoors and to kind of explore and to hike and camp and do that sort of stuff definitely laid a solid foundation. And I think I think even with that, as I mentioned in the opening question, you don't necessarily, you're sort of the issues, the problems with climate change and the problems with plastic when I was younger, I think generally it wasn't such a sort of, there wasn't so much awareness around it. So it's hard to say whether my awareness has increased specifically or whether just generally there's way more awareness and kind of education around that now. But I think the older I got, the more I started to look around and realize actually there's something that I couldn't stand by without at least doing a little part myself, and whether that part was starting a business or just simply using less plastic myself, I suppose the kind of moral side of it started becoming more real to me in many ways. Mm. That absolutely led up to founding Hunu. I've been involved in sort of various startups since I was fairly young. So I've always on the lookout for something that would make a good business, but at the same time, I also always wanted to have something that would had a much broader mission and actually stood for something. So I think I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here. I think to answer your question, that foundation as a young adult and kind of getting to grow up in a place like that with that sort of upbringing, and then that combined with being fortunate enough to travel quite a lot in my 20s. I think that absolutely combined to the kind of right mix of wanting to do something and then finding an opportunity to do that, that ultimately culminated in Hunu.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let's talk about the business itself. And actually, when I was first, when you guys first got in contact with me, I looked at this design and I was like, instantly, I can get rid of all of my other traveling coffee cups, because you can just tell from the design that it's awesome. It folds up to be super compact. The straw is thin. So instead of a round shape, which to me always, I know that this is like, I'm making a weird connection in my head, but I feel like I'm a smoker. Like I just, for some reason that I just don't like regularly shaped right. straws. They make me feel very strange. Like I'm making a duck face, I guess. Yeah. but the, you know, making sure that everything is super compact so I can put it in my pocket. Cause what I absolutely dislike about just about every single other reusable coffee or other drink cup is that once you're done, where do you put it? Yeah. There are no loops. There are no little carabiner hooks. There's nothing. And so I have to have a bag, and I hate to have a bag. I want to leave the house for, you know, half the day and not have to worry about where I'm putting in my stuff. If all my stuff, if it doesn't fit in my pockets, it doesn't come with me. That's kind of my rule. So let's talk about, you know, how you all came up with the design and some of the challenges that you had kind of along the way of developing this product.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's really nice to hear you describe it in that way, because it's good to see that some of that design process, the way we think about it, you're always unsure how kind of a customer is going to think about it when they see it. But it's great to hear you say some of those things, that they translate so well and are understandable, and kind of people use it in the way we intend. I think, so to kind of start at the beginning, how it came about in the first place, Which I think is your question. Should I start there? I think living in New York, both myself and my girlfriend, who I co-founded the business with, living in New York just became hyper aware of the amount of waste we were creating personally. And I think it's quite easy to say, well, my impact doesn't really make a difference. There's sort of corporations spewing out stuff into the ocean every day. And it isn't a completely false argument. But I think when you're in a place like New York, and obviously many other places, but I think a big busy city like that where you're out and about all day, everything is about convenience. And it's so easy to go through, if you do on a particularly bad day, you can go through multiple drink bottles, water bottles, you can go through multiple coffee cups, you can go through takeout at lunch, you can have takeout at dinner. And I think for us, it really hits home when we kind of take out the trash sometimes and realize actually a lot of it was just empty plastic containers. And that was just our trash at home. That's not accounting for the stuff around the city. So there was this idea, and we started personally trying to kind of find solutions, and obviously cutting down on getting takeout in general, and that sort of stuff was one step, which is a debatable thing now because a lot of businesses are actually relying on that during coronavirus. So I think our thinking was, instead of trying to sacrifice, which I think a lot of sort of sustainability is about, it's sort of cutting down and not using certain services or things. Is there a way where we can match that level of convenience that single-use stuff provides? And I think that was the kind of base idea. And then around that time, I actually read an article about, they were predicting sort of trends for the next 10, 20 years. And they were talking about how there was all this, or it was all about tech mainly, about sort of your payment system integrated to your phone, and you'd have sort of your computers built into your car and be self-driving. And then they had this sort of thing that was completely different. And they said, well, plastics, the way things are going, will single-use plastics will be a lot more regulated or outright banned, and consumers will hopefully be a lot more aware of it. So you will probably leave the house with everything you need, kind of exactly what you just said, whatever's in your pockets you walk around with all day. And that, I think, just flicked a switch, and it was just like, well, actually, there's nothing out there that does fit in our pocket and we can carry around all day, every day. And that's where it came from. Like, can we create a cup? And I think cups were the one focus of ours, because we tended to do a lot of coffees during the day and kind of be out and about. And we each had a water bottle and things like that. And we never had a cup. We never had something we could use. And it was one area we were sort of looking for something at the time. And it just made sense. It was like, can we create something that is as close to being as convenient as something that you'd pick up at a coffee shop and throw away? And the obvious solution was, well, how small can we get it and how easy can it fit into your pocket? And so we started playing around with the design process and kind of experimenting with things. And eventually, when we had a slightly better idea, we actually brought on board product engineers, who then translated that into kind of much more technical language and designed it out and refined everything. And so it took from the point where we first kind of very early days of the idea through to actually having a product prototype that we're happy with was probably 8 or 9 months. So it was kind of a slow process of really trying to figure it out. And I think we really wanted to focus on it being a useful product and making sure it was the best version it could be.
So why don't you take a second to go into some of the features? I mentioned a couple of them, and obviously people can go to your Instagram or to the website, wehunu.com. Again, that's H-U-N-U, wehunu.com. But why don't you go into a couple of the other features that I didn't mention?
Yeah, thank you. So at its base, let me qualify this. A year ago, we launched our first product, and the focus of that product was really, how can we design the most compact cup that you can use for drinking, that you can put in your pocket and reuse over and over again and carry around all day? So our focus was very much on the slimmest, most portable version of that. So we just decided to do one size and make that the best it could be. That size ended up being, it folds down to about 2 centimeters as a sort of 2 centimeter high disc. So it fits really nicely in your pocket. It's a silicone cup. that kind of collapses and unfolds. And the way that the thickness of the silicone and the way the folds are designed, it actually is relatively sturdy when it's open. I think we have a lot of people have this concern. We get the question often of, well, it's just going to collapse when I put liquid on. It's very flimsy. But they're actually surprisingly sturdy. So we came up with that first product. There's a few features on it that we sort of designed, where we have a drinking lid, obviously a lid with a hole in it, similar to what you'd get with a paper cup. And that lid then is sealed when you close it down. So we include a drinking band, which is a material band, like an elastic kind of sports band that fits around the cup. So if you're drinking something particularly hot, you can put the band around the cup, and that band doubles as a plug. So once you finish drinking, you fold your cup down, it becomes this 2-centimeter disc. You can plug it closed and loop the band around it, and holds it all together, and it's completely leak proof, and you stick in your pocket and you can go about your day. And next time you need it, you can pull it out, give it a quick rinse, and use it again. So that was the first product. Over the course of last year, sort of getting it out to people and it being a sort of on sale and a lot of people using it, one of the big pieces of feedback was that people wanted bigger sizes, particularly in the US. I think coffee sizes and drinks in general are slightly larger than the European market. And so that was our next focus, was to try and build out the range. And what you mentioned at the beginning of this, the straw and the shape of it is our new range that we've just launched now for pre-sale, and will be available later this year. And that expands our range from our first cup, which is a 9-ounce cup, all the way through to a 20-ounce cup. So we now have four sizes, a 9, a 12, a 16, and a 20. The 9 and the 12 are very similar in that they fold down to roughly the same size. And then the 16 and the 20, we include a drinking straw with them that we've designed to fit in with the cup, and that folds down inside the cup when you finished using it. So you can kind of also package it all together in one little disc. They're slightly thicker, but they're still very much pocket sized. I think the largest size is about 3.5 centimeters, as opposed to sort of just over 2. So it's an extra centimeter higher. But for a 20-ounce cup, it folds down pretty small. That's our current focus, is really getting those cups. And over time, we're looking at other products and other ways we can kind of improve things and redesign some standard kind of reusable type products that follow that focus of fitting into people's lives.
Awesome. So where is the product made? Where do the materials come from? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no, good question. So we are based in the UK and in the US. And we operate the business from London, where I am at the moment. But manufacturing is all done in China. And it's something that is, we've looked at very closely from the beginning in terms of where things are manufactured. And we spend a lot of time looking for the right manufacturer. And I think it's a question we get a lot as well, of people sort of have a blanket idea of goods that come out of China. And there's obviously a lot of media at the moment about sort of a lot of big brands having negative experiences with labor practices in China and materials. So it is something we're very aware of. But we have really good relationships with our suppliers there. And our materials are all certified, and they're tested, and they're audited both to FDA standards, which is obviously American standard, and then there's an LFGB, which is a European German standard, which is even higher than the FDA. So all the materials go through those tests and are certified, and then our factories themselves all go through audits of kind of worker standards and factory environment and hours and wages and all that sort of stuff. There's the social audits. And I think a lot of any decent factory these days has to comply with those things, because any business now that does business with China, I think is looking for those things. And it's something our retailers also demand from us. So we have really good relationships with our factories there. And I think when all of this opens up, we'll spend more time actually in China and kind of overseeing some of the stuff happening there and checking on things. But to date, they've been really amazing. And I think it's interesting for me where things will go with regards to manufacturing, because the truth is, if you produce a certain type of product like ours, there is no better place in the world. Just the expertise and the knowledge and the experience can't compete with them at the moment. And one of our goals with Hunu as a company and as a brand is to be very open about what we don't know. I think in this sort of space, there is a tendency for people to claim they're experts or to say our product or our sort of service will save the world, and by us, it's better than anyone else. And I think we just want to be very aware of, like, we're producing something that I genuinely think has an impact, but we're also starting from day one, and we know we're not going to get everything right at the beginning. And I think one of those areas is the manufacturing and supply chain of we do live in a world of things being very international and globalized. And what are the impacts of that? Because a lot of the impact of manufacturing goods is transport, and it's at the factory. It's not actually using it on a daily basis. So if you use our cup a certain number of times, you will absolutely pay for it in terms of the less single-use cups. But then there's also this impact of the manufacturing, the transport, and how do we minimize that area of it? So our ultimate goal with this is to just continually improve and never to get to a point where we think, oh, we've got the perfect product and we've done it in the perfect way, and that's the end of it. It's a great question, and I think I can answer it as well as I can. Unfortunately, I'm still learning as much as you are in many ways.
Absolutely. And like you said, I mean, no company or product or person is ever perfect, and you're constantly expanding and growing, especially as a company with a lot of different factors and different people involved and materials involved in the manufacturing process of whatever it is that you're offering your clients and your customers. So,
yeah. As I say, I think for me, it comes down to dealing with the individuals and having those personal relationships with our manufacturers, and actually realizing that, I don't know, I think I can also get lost in sort of bigger picture of like, should we be dealing with this part of the world when there's all these rumors hanging around the country as a whole? And then you speak to sort of individuals on the ground then, you just realize that they're people too. And they're actually, a lot of them are just trying to do the best they can. And they also actually want to do something good, and they are trying to run a business, and there's so many issues and kind of things to figure out. And as you've said, I think it's everyone's continually learning. And I think having that openness is a very important part of it, particularly in this kind of industry.
Absolutely. Yes. So let's dive into a little bit of what you all have, what you're preparing for in the future. What are your plans for kind of expanding your line? Because I think as far as design goes, you guys absolutely have the right idea. My tendency is I'll just go without, because I don't want to, like I said earlier, I don't want to carry a cup around for 6 hours walking around my city, because I sold my car when I left LA. I moved to Philadelphia, and there are some days when I literally take a 4-hour walk. Yeah, I don't want to be carrying around a cup for 3.5 of those hours because I want to enjoy a drink the first half.
No, you and me both. I think for me, our product is I am the user. Megan, my girlfriend, is as well, but she also will often have a bag and sometimes will carry something with her. Whereas I am very much, and what you said at the beginning of this, leave the house and whatever's in my pocket is in my pocket. Don't like carrying anything else. And since we've produced this cup, I have it with me all the time. And I still get a little kick every time I pull it out, because I'm like, I actually use this. I'm not trying to sell it to people as sort of something I don't use. I actually genuinely, if we made it for no other reason than just ourselves, it's still been a really useful product and a successful one. So we're currently in pre-sale with our new range, which is the broader range of sizes. We've kind of updated some of the features on the cup. We've included the straw. So our goal really is to focus on the cups for the moment. And the next stage is then to start adding products to our line. But we're very focused on doing that in a way that makes sense, and not just trying to throw products out for no reason, but trying to kind of make sure they also solve something. I think our two focuses really are, we approach it from two angles in terms of reusable products, and this comes from personal experience, and just the more we kind of learn as we interact with people who buy our product, is I think the two major friction points for reusables for many people are, number one, that they are very inconvenient, as you've noted. They're just not with you, they're bulky. It's if you do want something, you've got to either do a bit of pre-planning to carry something with you, or you've got to carry a bag, or and then the second thing is, I think design wise from a visual and kind of that side of things, just from what we're learning, a lot of people don't use reusables because they also just aren't very stylish. I think there's a lot of people who care enough and will use them no matter what, because they either have that knowledge or just have that experience or care enough about the effects of stuff that they will use it, or go without, as you've mentioned. There's a much larger group. I think that group's also growing. I think the awareness of environmental issues and kind of documentaries and media and social media and just generally, I hope that's growing, and I think it is. So I think that subset of people that are much more dedicated to using reusables is growing, and I hope it does. But for the bulk of the population and most of us, and I'm probably, as much as I do care, I'm probably in that bucket as well, of often it's comes down to something that there's a bit of peer pressure in it. And I think with our product, we're looking to create something that is both very functional and removes as much of the practical friction of using a reusable, where it's just always with you and easy. And then secondly, is something that becomes something you're very proud to be seen with. So rather than going into a coffee shop and feeling like the kind of weird kid with your sort of reusable cup, you actually feel like more of a trendsetter with the product. And so our long-term goal is to really build Hunu into a brand that people want to be associated with, and through that, actually start using more products, because it becomes a cool thing. It becomes a thing you walk into a coffee shop and you kind of smug with your cup, not embarrassed about it. And I think that line is changing slowly, generally anyway. But I still feel like if I speak to a lot of people and even friends, sometimes what holds them back is just that sort of awkwardness of you like at the counter and you're like, hey, can you use my cup? And it is a real thing, as much as we sort of maybe don't want to think it is. There's still that kind of stylishness and being part of the crowd and something that's fashionable does make a difference.
Absolutely.
So that's where design.
I mean, there are people that will purchase a product specifically because of the name recognition or the tag that's on it.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff means something to some people. And then there are other people, like you said, that, you know, they're going to use reusables regardless, even if it's bulky, even if it's not stylish, even if it's inconvenient, because that's what they're focused on. And they've decided to make that a part of their everyday lifestyle and commitment to themselves and their community and the planet and all of that. However they got there is fine. But there are a lot of other people that it's not the thing at the forefront of their mind. And so how do we get those people to kind of cross the threshold from, I'm just going to take what the restaurant or the to-go place offers me versus this, like you said, cool thing that can kind of become, you know, part of the trend. It makes you feel like you're a part of something. While I wish that wasn't how things go, that's just human nature to feel like you belong to attract others. And so if you're on that side of, well, you know, reusables, and that's just not something that I think about, maybe the style, maybe the design, maybe the usability of it, the aesthetics of it is something that will attract you enough to make it a part of your everyday life. And I think that that's okay. If that's the route that you needed to take to get there, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as you got there.
I think you've said it perfectly. It's getting more people to follow that path. And I think the reality is the fashion industry is a thing. There's a reason why people buy clothes, and so many businesses do so well, and brand and labels do well, is that they, whether it's marketing or whether it's the actual product, people mm-hmm. want to be associated with things. And it I think it does come down to that sort of peer pressure of if you want to be part of the cool thing, and if the cool thing, if we can make the cool thing reusable products, and we can make mm-hmm. them something that you're proud to be seen with, it's going to open Absolutely. Up a sector of the market and the sector of people that maybe wouldn't pay so much attention. And our thinking is, on a much broader scale, the cups themselves, I think, absolutely have an impact. But we're also not naive that they are the thing that's going to solve major problems. Right. But mm-hmm. if someone who previously didn't really think about any of the stuff sees their friend and their other friend, and they're using these cups, and suddenly they're like, oh, I want one of those, that looks kind of cool, and they buy it and they start using it and they feel good about it, then that's opened a little doorway in their head. And I think that translates, and we see that. I see that with people all around me. I mean, obviously it happens with many products, but because we have friends that probably never even thought of the stuff before and maybe support us just because they're like, oh, we'll use your cups. And those people are changing their lifestyles in sometimes very small ways, but often in bigger ways, where they're using less plastic. They're on the eye out what they eat. They're looking at, to the point where people are looking at the type of groceries they buy and the type of mm-hmm. energy suppliers they have. And the kind of, then you start noticing when a sort of political candidate starts talking in a certain way, you're like, oh, that appeals to me more. And I think that's where it can get really exciting. Of the product itself isn't necessarily the thing that's going to have major impact. But I do believe that this is the sort of product that opens up this whole other world and awareness for you, because there is a feeling of kind of, you feel good when you use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you do that, when you realize you haven't thrown something away and you can live that opens up this whole kind of journey, I think. And that's really exciting for us.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I am very excited for people to see the design of this product, because it's definitely, I'm not really a big coffee drinker or a big tea drinker, but also my clean canteen is ginormous. And when I'm out there in the world, sometimes I just want a little bit of water. I do want coffee or tea or something like that. Yeah. So to me, it's kind of nice to have a universal container, but that also fits in my pocket. And this is a fantastic design. Again, check out wearehunu.com and also wearehunu on all of the social media. We'll get right back to our interview with Vince right after a word from our sponsor. This year for Earth Day, I'll be speaking to a group of students at the University of Vermont. If you haven't listened to my earlier episodes, you may not know this about me, but I've had terrible stage fright and trauma around public speaking. So you can imagine I've been a little bit nervous about how to prepare. Recently, I found the perfect place to help me develop my skills in public speaking and so much more. It's called Wondrium, and it gives me unlimited ad-free access to stream high-quality content about new skills that I can incorporate into my life. I recently started the Great Courses program called How to Speak Effectively in Any Setting. I'm learning about writing for public speaking, how to connect with my audience, and how to overcome stage fright, of course. They have programs covering business, professional development, health and wellness, as well as hobbies, science, history, and more. And the best part about it is, after this program, hopefully, I'll be able to connect with you even more. If you like this podcast, then I know that you'll love Wondrium too. Sign up now through my special URL to start your free trial today. Go to wondrium.com/ASM. Again, wondrium.com/ASM. Now, back to the interview. So, Vince, let's jump into our 7 sustainable questions now. Yeah. And the first of which is, do you have a long-standing habit that you can share with us that has significantly impacted your life?
Yeah, I think probably within relating back to a lot of what we've talked about already, just getting outside, I think is huge. I think a lot of this is, it's very hard to make people care about something that they have no connection with. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, one of the biggest things. And if my mood's down, if I'm ever, it just solves everything, just getting outside. And whether that's going to a park in a city and sitting under a tree, or whether that's actually spending a weekend hiking or just getting into some nature, I find it solves most things. And I think I feel in many ways that is one of the reasons the world is kind of heads in the direction it does now, is that connection to the outdoors and to kind of all the other living stuff around us is not as strong as probably it used to be, because we're so removed and disconnected from it. So I would say, yeah, that would be a longstanding one, and one that I think constantly improves my life.
Nice. And what is one new habit that you're cultivating in your life right now?
Oh, great question. I'm going to use a pretty standard one, but actually that I do, I'm just trying to drink more water. Mm-hmm. I've noticed recently how little water I drink. So I'm really, that's currently, and maybe it's the freshest thing I'm cultivating, but I'm trying to make that a much, much better habit.
And while we're still on the topic of habits, what is one habit that would probably make the biggest impact for the greatest number of people?
Okay. I think this relates back to your first question now, and just I really believe just being outdoors and having that connection to kind of nature is a massive one. And I think if you drill down from that, what that really comes down to is just sort of more awareness and kind of consciousness of mindfulness, maybe is the word. And I think if there was one habit, I mean, it's probably overused, and it's sort of almost to the point where it's a bit cliche at the moment, but I think meditation is huge. Yeah. It's definitely impacted my life incredibly, and it's such a subtle change, but I notice it. And I think it relates back to, as I say, that connection with nature, is I think just the mindfulness in general of being more kind of slowing things down and being much more mindful of what you do and the actions you take and your connection to everything around you and your connection to kind of the natural world and other people. I think that for me, definitely, it's made me care more about things and actually genuinely care about things. Of when I sort of do something that is maybe harmful, like plastic or something like that, that I maybe wouldn't have given a second thought to, there's a moment's pause now where I kind of feel it more, because I feel like there's that connection. So I would say I'm a big believer that the sort of, as amazing as technology is and as amazing as the pace of change is, and I think it's incredible, I'm really excited, and I use all of these things as much as anyone else, I think there's even more need to take time to kind of step back and be a bit more mindful and kind of remove yourself from the pace that we all get stuck into. And I think that directly relates to just more caring in general of other people and the world around us.
I love it. And you put that so well. Thank you for sharing. I know that there are probably a lot of people that you look up to in environmental work and in the reusable containers and utensils kind of field, and also the people that you work with, you know, your manufacturer and the relationship that you have with your people in China that are, you know, helping you bring this product to your customers. Whose work do you look up to in your space specifically? So is there anyone that you would like to share with us, or that you kind of want to give a shout out to, either people that are just doing good in the community or that might belong to a specific nonprofit organization?
Yeah, good question. It's also something I'm learning a lot more about as we grow. I think there's such a need and desire for sustainable products, and I put that in kind of quotation marks, and reusable products, that there's this sort of very rapidly growing industry of certification and sort of companies that purely just put their stamp on products. And I think that's led to a lot of very suspect behavior when you actually look beneath the surface. And I think it's led to a lot of greenwashing that can be sometimes very negative because it's sort of persuading people that certain products are doing things they aren't or certain companies they are. So I think the work that I really admire, and I'm going to use one example because I happened to see something on them last night, so they're fresh in my mind, but I think there's a lot of them, are organizations that genuinely are doing the hard work when maybe it isn't as easy or as kind of accepted. And I think on a massive scale, an organization like Greenpeace comes to mind, mm-hmm. where they're generally vilified in many ways, but are just very committed to what they do. And I think mm-hmm. more specifically, that I last night, I've been aware of them for some time, but I just watched this documentary that I'm sure you might have seen, and many people, is Seaspiracy, that's just come out on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the organization Sea Shepherd, I was really admired that they're out there really doing tough stuff without any real compromise, and they're not trying to play to any politics, and they're not trying mm-hmm. to. And I think that I really admire that, because it's very hard to do in the world we live in, because so often you do have to play to the politics, and you have to kind of mm-hmm. take the lesser of two evils. And the people who really stand for their principles, and I don't know enough about them, purely from the documentary, they're just, what the impression I got is that they really are kind of have a very solid moral compass and stick to that no matter the consequences. And I think that's incredibly admirable.
Awesome. And for people that want links to those organizations, like we do with every episode, every resource that has been mentioned here will be available. The links will be available in the description, so you can check your device in the description section, or you can check out asustainablemind.com and go to the page for this episode. So Vince, can you share with us an internet resource that you specifically find helpful on a regular basis that you think would also be beneficial to share with our listeners?
Oh, that is a great question. We have become a lot more aware recently of the website EcoAge. And I think they're doing some really interesting work. They're a great resource of different kind of, it's all in the sustainable space of new materials. And they have a lot of information there, and they work with a lot of companies and partner up to try and improve processes. So that's been a really interesting one, just digging into more of that. And I think the other one I have seen recently is an app called Good On You, I think it is, where it's a similar thing where the app actually lists businesses and products, and you can see what their practices are and how well they're kind of sticking to those. And I'm learning a lot more about those sort of resources, but EcoAge has been a really good one recently.
Those are both fantastic. I love that. GoodOnYou.eco, and then eco-age or eco-age.com is where you can find those resources, neither of which I've ever heard of. Actually, GoodOnYou, maybe I have heard of it. I've just never been to their website, I don't think.
EcoAge is great. Awesome. They're just, we've had some conversations with some people there, and they're just, again, fit into that kind of genuinely passionate mm-hmm. about what they do and trying to make a change and kind of just working on some very interesting stuff. And so that's always inspires me, those sort of people.
Fantastic. So in terms of a book, a podcast, a movie, do you have a resource that you can recommend to sustainable minds out there that are hoping to shift their mindset specifically to become the change that they want to see in the world?
Very good. You have some very good questions.
Not too hard, I hope.
No. I would probably, too many. I'm trying to actually be more practical with this. So with regards to viewing, I grew up around sort of following a lot of surf brands and outdoor brands and things like that. And what those brands traditionally have done very well is done a lot of documentary style content. So sort of short, and with the internet now, a lot of them put out a lot of really amazing content. And I find the stuff that inspires me at the moment, and probably always has, are not so much the kind of longer feature documentaries, although there are some incredible ones. It's a lot of that, those brands that kind of really stick by what they believe in and create content around it, and sometimes it's very abstract stuff. I know an obvious example that I suppose most people would know is Patagonia, and if you dig into actually their short films and their documentaries and that sort of stuff, there's some just really niche things about specific kind of environmental issues or specific areas of the world or a very specific story of someone. And I think I would highly recommend, if anyone wants to kind of be inspired or dig deeper into some of these issues, just finding some really good outdoor brands. Patagonia, I mentioned sort of surf brands as well, because a lot of them have a very heavy environmental bent these days. Yes. But some of those companies, and you can go, I mean, even if you go on something like Vimeo or YouTube and just search sort of outdoor brands or outdoor content or just sort of short documentaries, there's so many amazing things. And even 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, just on like really interesting stories and highlighting things that maybe don't get enough attention on a kind of smaller scale. And so that's a really good place to start. It also makes you aware of actually, it's not about changing the whole world. You can be part of small projects that can be very impactful.
Yes.
And then reading wise, I would say the biggest impact I've had from a book recently is, and I'm sure this is one you've probably heard, because again, it was everywhere for a while, is Sapiens. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think fascinating to really see how we've evolved as people and how we've shaped the world. And it's sort of just, it definitely impacted the way I see the world and kind of humans in general, how we've developed and how new we are to all of this and how we're kind of really learning as we're going. But I would, if anyone hasn't read it, it's quite a solid read. But yeah, I would definitely recommend
solid
it.
Solid is a good word for it. Yeah, solid is a good word for it. It's it's quite the book. I've read portions of it, have not read it cover to cover, certainly.
I think that is how, from what I can gather, the majority of people read it.
Okay. I figure. Yeah. And again, links to those books and videos will also be in the description for this episode. So Vince, I do want to end this conversation kind of on a fun note. And so I want to ask the question, if you could be any reusable item that's not a coffee cup, so anything to replace the disposables in our lives, what product would you be and why? Take as long as you need.
I would have to go with reusable packaging.
Okay.
I think just purely from a travel perspective, being a piece of packaging that's reused over and over again is like you get to travel the world for free.
Oh, nice.
I also think I also think there's a lot of room for improvement there. So it's quite a sort of new. I think it's probably an exciting area to be in.
Right.
It is definitely, yeah.
Perfect. Well, Vince, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of A Sustainable Mind. This has been an awesome conversation. I'm really excited to get my hands on one of these Hunu cups. And I do want to make sure that people know where to find you. Again, wearehunu.com. And then wearehunu on all of the social media platforms. Vince, do you have any final words or parting pieces of guidance to give sustainable minds out there?
Yeah, I would say from my own experience, no act is too small. And I think the impact for me of just taking small actions has been opening up the bigger actions. So sometimes you think those tiny little things you do on a daily basis don't add up, but they really do. And they also kind of open that doorway in your mind, and that they're a real gateway drug to just more awareness and kind of changing bigger things in your life and the world around you. So I would say no matter how small or useless you think it might be, take a small action today and kind of try to be consistent with it. And it really will be surprised by how good it feels and the long-term impact it can have.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you want to learn more about Hunu, go to wearehunu.com or head on over to asustainablemind.com/092, where you can get this link and all of the other resources mentioned on today's episode. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on A Sustainable Mind.